So today, we are kicking off our Lenten sermon series, Practices, Habits for Imitating Jesus. And there is a whole bunch in that one sentence. So let me unpack it. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent started this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and Lent is a 40-day period of preparation for the resurrection and help us celebrate the resurrection. Lent does not include Sundays because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. Some of you maybe just needed to clue into that because today gets a break for some of you on some things that you're trying to do. It's 40 days because it's a 40-day pattern that we see in Scripture, right? Moses spent 40 days up on the mountain alone to receive the Ten Commandments. Elijah spent 40 days on a pilgrimage alone to hear from God in a still small voice. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness being tested, fasting, before he launched his public ministry. Hold on to that last one. We'll come back to it here in just a moment. The liturgical color for Lent is purple. That's why I'm wearing purple. That's why we see purple paraments out. We wear purple because Jesus was dressed in a purple robe and mocked just before his crucifixion by soldiers for being the supposed king of the Jews. They didn't have a clue that he's actually the King of Kings. In Lent, we consider it a penitential season. A season where we repent of all the sin that prompted Jesus to come and to go to the cross and to die for us. And to help us with that, to help us remember all that, to help us spend time with Jesus, to help us grow in our Christ-likeness, to help us repent, it is common during Lent for that season of 40 days to take on some disciplines, or as I prefer to call them, practices. Practices of either engagement, where we take something on, or of abstinence, where we give something up. But it is important to note here that even as I turn now to the sermon title part of my first sentence, these practices, that practices are not actually the point. Right? Practices are a means, not an end. We take on these practices so that we can become like Jesus, so that we can imitate Jesus. And so, with that in mind, actually, the practices I want to look at are practices that we see Jesus himself engage in. Jesus engaged in all kinds of practices, right? But I want to look at the practices we see him engage in during his 40 days in the wilderness. Now, the story of Jesus' time in the wilderness is recorded in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark's version is pretty short, but for every Sunday in this sermon series, we're only going to do 5 weeks of this. The sixth week will be Passion Palm Sunday, and it'll be standalone. We're gonna read from either Matthew's account or Luke's account because they're the longest about Jesus' time in the wilderness. Today it's gonna be Matthew. So why don't you turn in your Bibles, your Bible apps, your pew Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're gonna look at the first 11 verses. And as you do turn, let me set the stage. Jesus has just been baptized by his cousin John the Baptist in the Jordan River. While he was being baptized, the Spirit came down like a dove. A voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." And from a human perspective at that moment, it would have seemed like the perfect time and spot to launch his public ministry. But the Spirit had another idea. God's ways are not always our ways. But with that, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's holy word to you. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It's also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. I think the first practice or discipline that we see Jesus undertake is easy to miss. It's also very, very countercultural. It's the discipline of humble submission. I know, you're just longing to hear a sermon about submission, right? But look at it. Jesus has just had this great moment. He's been baptized. God said all these things. And then the Spirit leads him where and to do what? It leads him into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tested by the devil. And Jesus could only go and do that if he humbly submitted to being led by the Spirit. And if Jesus had to be led, I think it's pretty sure that we need to be led. And the only way we can be led is if we humbly submit. Now, we see this pattern in Jesus' life all along. And we hear this call to humble submission throughout the Scriptures, right? The Scriptures are replete with all these things about humbly submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. It has lines in it about submit yourselves then to God, and in due time He will lift you up. You heard some of that in our call to worship. We also hear it in that Philippians 2 passage that Scott read for us earlier. So why don't you look over there, right? Because in that passage it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus in your dealings with one another. And what was Jesus' attitude? Well, it's pretty clear what his attitude was. It says that being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Did you see the pattern of humble submission in Jesus? He doesn't try to grasp and hold on and stay in control. No, he says, God, you want me to go? Okay, I'll go. I'll be born in a barn. I'll take on flesh. I'll experience heat and cold and pain and grief. I'll experience temptation. You said so, God. I'll do it. And he does. And we see a lot of that even in our text, that he just humbly submits to the Spirit's leading to go be in the wilderness and to go be tempted. Now, I suspect Jesus knew what we know, but maybe he didn't, because he did take on flesh fully, that this was actually just preparation. This was practice for an even bigger act of submission that was coming down the line, right? Submitting himself to the cross. And was that ever a hard thing for him to submit to? Absolutely. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying so intensely that his sweat turned into blood. He was under so much stress that capillaries were breaking and blood was getting into his sweat. And he's praying, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But then what does he do? He humbly submits and says, not my will, but your will be done. And what prepared him for that was a lifetime of humble submission, even to things like just spending 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, and being tempted. And because he did all that, because he ultimately submitted, what happens? God lifts him up. And I love the way the Philippians text goes on. Because he did all this, what did God do? God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there you have the second reason you should submit, right? First is Jesus modeled it. The second's right there. You're going to have to do it sooner or later. Right? Someday, Jesus is going to come back, and guess what? Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. There will not be anybody who doesn't submit. But the people who have previously submitted, who've practiced submission, they're going to get lifted up, just as Jesus was. I think that's a pretty compelling reason to practice submission. Jesus did it. It's inevitable. But it's also pragmatic. Right? It's just the way life works. You heard me say this in the children's sermon, right? If you want to grow as a student, you submit to your teacher. If you want to grow as a musician, you submit to a teacher. If you want to grow as an athlete, you submit to a coach. Do you know that even the top-ranked players in all these different sports still have coaches? They all need coaches. And here's why you need a coach, is we all have blind spots. Jesus maybe didn't have a blind spot. He knew. But all the rest of us have blind spots. If you don't think you have a blind spot, just ask your spouse or ask your children. Make it safe for them and ask them. They see it. And how are you going to fix your blind spot? How are you going to grow and improve if you don't humbly submit to their suggestions, to their leading, to what they're calling you to do? So even though this is logical, I have to say it's hard though, right? I mean, Jesus did it. We're all going to have to do it. It's just pragmatic. It works. But, friends, there's just no doubt. It's brutally hard. And I've been thinking about why it's so brutally hard. And I think the first reason it's so brutally hard is pride, right? Like we want to do as the song says, I did it my way. This is the original human condition, right? I mean, Adam and Eve are in paradise, and it's everything's going well and great and it's perfect, and God's just to say, there's just one place I need you to submit. Don't eat from that tree. And they go, I think I know better than you, God. I want to be like you, God. I don't want to have to submit to you, God. And so they eat from the tree. Do you know that 90% of patients who are told by their doctors, hey, stop smoking, or stop eating greasy cheeseburgers, or whatever it is, ignore their doctor. And you know what happens to them? They die. I think most Christians go, oh man, that idea of reading the Bible, or fasting, or praying, or showing up for worship every week, or serving, or doing mission, I think as a pastor, I'm pretty sure a lot of people just go, it's the Charlie Brown voice in their ear. It's just pride. But because of the fall, it's not just pride, right? It's also because some of this stuff is legitimately hard. And it's scary. And we just like comfort. We can see that this was hard for Jesus in our text. I already kind of said, like, it was this prime moment and for him to launch a ministry, and instead he gets sent to the wilderness. And make no mistake, the wilderness was hard. Jesus is 100% man. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. So going without food for 40 days was hard. Being out in the elements for 40 days and 40 nights was hard. Being tempted by the devil, I mean, when you unpack these temptations, they're real temptations. He was tempted in every way as we are. He just didn't sin. It was hard. And because of all that, I'm sure it was tempting for Jesus to go, I think I'm just going to start my public ministry. I'm going to skip the wilderness. And I suspect some of you are going, Lent. Humble submission? That's hard. Silence and solitude? That's hard. Fasting? Oh, that's hard. Growing in my prayer life? That's hard. Really spending time in the scriptures and memorizing some of them? Some of you go, I can't possibly memorize. It's hard. But you're still called to it. Those are the things we're going to look at in this sermon series. And it's precisely because they're hard that it all starts with humbly submitting to the leading of the Spirit. And now some of you are going, okay, but how do I know where and how the Spirit's leading me? I think that's a good question. I just want to give you two places you can know where the Spirit's leading you to, and so then you can submit to it. And the first way you can know is it comes from Scripture. And this is precisely why in this sermon series, every one of the disciplines, every one of the practices we're going to lift up comes straight from Scripture. And they don't just come from Scripture, they're what Jesus himself did. And so, I think you can rest assured that what we're asking you to do is probably the Spirit's leading. Because it comes from Scripture. The other way to do is to go, has it worked for others? And again, all the disciplines we're going to take you to come from the Christian tradition, and Christians throughout the ages have benefited from undertaking these different practices. They've grown in Christ-likeness because they've done these things. And if it's from Scripture and you've seen others do it, there's a good chance that God's leading you to do it. Including, by the way, to humble submission, right? Monks and nuns made vows. One of the vows they made was obedience. And a lot of them ended up actually growing a lot in Christ-likeness. Was that abuse sometimes? Sure. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If they had to submit, maybe you need to submit. So how can you actually submit? Because ultimately this is your choice, guys. I can say all this, but you're still going to have to choose to do it, to go, yeah, I actually want to submit. I actually want to grow. I want to become more Christ-like. You need to make a decision on that. And so, how can you do that? Well, the first thing I would just say is how you can practically do it is start with the disciplines that we're going to suggest here. And actually pick the ones that are hardest for you. Because that's how you grow in submission, right? Like some of you are introverts, and some of you are like, next week we're going to talk about silence and solitude, and the idea of silence and solitude to you is like, that just sounds like a day at the beach. Right? Like, that's just awesome. Thank you so much. Others of you are extroverts and go, that's terrifying. If it's terrifying for you, it might be a real good sign that you need to do it. Some of you like fasting. It's like, I'm already trying to lose weight anyway. The idea of fasting is just great. I can fast. I'll grow in self-control. It's great. Others of you like fasting. Man, I get hangry. Yeah, you probably are being called to fast. I can break these down further. We are in this sermon series. But I think humble submission is hard for all of us. So let me just say how you take that one on. And here's how you take it on. Get with a community. Get with a mentor. Get with an accountability partner. Get with a friend. Get with your spouse. Get with your small group. Get with one of your pastors and go, man, I really want to grow. Tell me what to do. I'll submit to it. If you do, you'll grow. You'll become more Christ-like. And I can say that, and I know some of you are going, there is just no way. I've got nobody I trust that much. Well, then I think, actually, I'm really talking to you. And let me just encourage you with this. Lent is a great time to experiment. We're talking 40 days. To get somebody who tells you what to do and try it for 40 days. And if at the end of 40 days you go, man, this did not do a thing for me, give it up. Try something else. Just try something. Submit to trying for 40 days. And then debrief it at the end of this thing and go, did I grow? Did I become more like Jesus? Did I spend more time with Him? Am I doing more what He did? Do I have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus? Just try. And try to the glory of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, this is scary. This is hard. Our pride just resists this. But Lord, would You lead us? And would You lead us to submit to Your call? Would You put people in our lives who can help us with that? Would we experiment? And Lord, would the result be that actually we grow to be more like You? That we would know You and love You and follow You more closely? Lord, You're able. And where it seems impossible for us, it's certainly not impossible for You. So would You do it? And do it to Your glory. Amen.